Welcome to Vast National Bank. How can I help you?
Hey, I'm here to talk to someone about a loan.
Oh, I'll grab you the L97B. We call it the just talking form.
What about actually applying for a loan?
Oh, my. Let me pop in a new toner cartridge. Hey, Bill, I want to pass me the big stapler.
Yeah, I'm going to try a community bank.
Skip the mega bank. When you need a loan, find a community bank at banklocally.org.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you're doing well today. Wow, a lot going on. We still don't know officially whose cocaine was left in the White House, but now the White House is apparently throwing Kamala Harris under the bus. This is going to get pretty entertaining. MSNBC is now reporting that the cocaine, the coke, the powdery substance found in the White House was actually found near where Vice President Kamala Harris parks. Cut number four, please.
Kelly, the big change is where this was found. And it was found, by my observation, in a much more secure place, limited access place than that West Wing reception area. It's still a publicly frequently trafficked place, but it's down near the Situation Room, right off West Executive, down below. And normal people, just average people, just can't get in there, even with the entry from the Northwest Gate.
Well, let me bring you up to date with the reporting that I have. What we have learned is that there are, in fact, two West Wing entrances. You know that. I know that. But for the benefit of our audience. And now the investigation has progressed. And so they're saying the West Executive entrance, which, as you noted, is closer to the Situation Room and closer to the Navy mess, where there's the facilities for food and so forth. It is also next to West Executive Drive. That's where, for example, the vice president's vehicle is parked.
All right, there you go. So they're trying to insinuate now that the vice president is the one who is doing the cocaine, which could explain a lot, no doubt about it. When you listen to some of Kamala Harris's speeches of late, cut number three.
Well, I think culture is it is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning. We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how people are experiencing life. And I think about it in that way, too.
What in the name of all that is good and holy in America is that woman talking about? Jeez, hello. Maybe we need to be on cocaine to understand this woman. But anyway, we're not going to get to the bottom of this because the White House doesn't want you to get to the bottom of it. And they're not going to allow the Secret Service to get to the bottom of it. But at the end of the day here, folks, ultimately, based upon all the inside info I'm getting, this is not Kamala Harris's cocaine. It was, in fact, and again, we just call it like we see it here. It was either Joe Biden's cocaine or it was Hunter's. And my money would be on Hunter Biden, the man who is known to be a crackhead. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that apparently Hunter has already been through the therapy and all that other kind of stuff. So Hunter was apparently free of the cocaine, but clearly that is not the case. And we'll see how all this plays out. But this is looking very bad for the Secret Service, because one of two things is true here. Either they know beyond a shadow of a doubt who did this, and they are not allowed to say who, or they don't have a clue. And if that's the case, that's the more disturbing part of all of this, because that tells us that anybody can get inside the White House, the most secure building in America. Anybody can get into that building at any time of the day, haul in Lord knows what. And that is not very good at all. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. Today, Open Line Fridays. And this is the day that you can ask questions. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We will take your calls today on Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Some brand new polling data is out, and it's not looking good for Ron DeSantis. So there was a poll conducted here in my home state of Tennessee, the Volunteer State, and Donald Trump is leading Ron DeSantis by nearly 50 points in the poll. That's beyond a landslide. I mean, that's an avalanche of support for the former president. So my question, what does Ron DeSantis have to do to turn things around? Can he even turn things around, or is it over for the Florida governor? Here's how bad it is. They're sending Mrs. DeSantis out on the campaign trail. At this early stage, they're sending her out solo on the campaign trail. And I will say this about Mrs. DeSantis. She is very effective. She is a solid campaigner. And it seems to me, just based on my observations of her out on the campaign trail, that she has a better grasp of politics than her husband does. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of Mrs. DeSantis in the coming days as we get ready for the first big Republican debate coming up in August. But anyway, Mrs. DeSantis is out there. I think she was in Iowa. She was photographed with Kim Reynolds, who's the governor out there. And there are a lot of people in the establishment wing of the party who say Ron DeSantis is their man. But the polling data does not show that at all. As a matter of fact, from thehill.com comes this story. The headline, Republicans sound alarm over DeSantis' sagging campaign. And my question for you is this, why is it sagging? Why is the DeSantis campaign sagging? I mean, he does have a good track record in Florida. According to thehill.com, questions surrounding DeSantis' presidential campaign strategy are multiplying as he continues to trail former President Trump in the polls. In a sign of just how concerned some of the governor's allies are, the spokesperson for the pro-DeSantis PAC Never Back Down, that would be Steve Cortez, recently referred to Trump as the runaway front runner in the primary, said DeSantis faced an uphill battle. Meanwhile, DeSantis' campaign faced backlash this week after sharing a video attacking Trump over his past comments in support of the gay community, leading some Republicans to raise concerns. One Republican strategist described the spokesperson's comments as a very clear-eyed moment. Quote, they realize they're in a hole. They realize they can potentially win this, and they are the only game in town. But again, they are in a big hole. Do you think they can turn it around, though? I mean, that's the big question here. Do you think they can turn it around? I don't think they can. Because I'm not sure Ron DeSantis knows who Ron DeSantis is. And that to me is the crux of the problem. And I believe that Mrs. DeSantis is the one running the campaign and running the messaging. As I have said from day one, and I know this is a surprise to the people at the Hill, and it may be a surprise to you, but from day one, we've been sounding the alarms about the DeSantis campaign apparatus. And by the way, that's why they will never come on the program because of that. We have sounded the alarm from day one. We've been trying to warn people, hey, something is not right here, and DeSantis has to fix it because this is all about Ron DeSantis. Who is he? And I don't think Ron DeSantis knows right now. And honestly, I'm looking at a man who doesn't look all that interested in being the next president of the United States, almost as if he was shoved into doing this. He was forced into doing this. But if you're trailing Donald Trump by 49 points, you may as well hang it up, folks. You may as well hang it up. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, again, we're going to be going to your calls throughout the day. Open line Friday. Our number, 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Open Line Friday. Can't wait to chat with you, the great listeners of this program, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Jim, what you got for us today?
Oh, nothing much. I think what the difference is between DeSantis and Trump, if you watch them side by side, Trump has a confident look in his face and an authoritative voice that when he tells you something, the look on his face, you feel that he means it. And also the fear factor in the look on his face, like with the other countries that are giving Biden a lot of trouble right now, they didn't give him any trouble because they knew in a way that he meant what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Jim. And again, I think with DeSantis, it's just, you know, even there were some incidents in Florida, just the optics of it. I think there was a flood or hurricane, and he showed up with his blue jeans stuffed into these white hip waiter boots. It was just sort of weird. I don't know, the optics around DeSantis, his team, they're just doing a lousy job.
Yeah, it just, you know, he's done good for Florida, but the thing is, it's just Trump's got, and of course he's got that background of the first presidency. He did everything he said he was going to do. And, it's just, he just gets stuff done. And you know that when he tells you something, you can count on it being done.
All right, Jim, appreciate it. And I think that goes to the heart of this, folks, is that one of them looks presidential and acts presidential, and the other does not. Let's go to Troy in North Carolina, WSIC. Hey, Troy, I know you want to weigh in on this White House cocaine issue. What you got?
Happy anniversary to you, Todd. It's been a wild, crazy ride. It's hard to believe it's been 6 years already.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for that.
Yeah, been listening to you most of those years. But anyway, I think what happened this week was deliberate, smoke and mirror, usual bull, you know what, and to try to get us off of the real picture here. And that's why I'm voting for Trump. We need to get him back up there because if we get him back up there, nonsense will stop. And that's exactly what it is going on up there in the White House. I don't really care about Joe Biden's son. He's got a habit. He's not the only one that's got a habit up there. I'm sure there's plenty others that have it. But I hope he can get clean. If indeed that was his or not, doesn't really matter. I just hope he can get clean someday because I know some people that have had some drug addictions, and it's no fun and games. I just think that was smoke and mirrors. I think it was deliberately set, put in place. They knew about it, and then they wanted to tell us about it because the media thrives on stuff like that.
Oh, no doubt about that, Troy. I will say this, and we talked about this earlier this week on the program, that this is not happening in a vacuum. Somebody wanted that information to come out. Somebody wanted the nation to know that cocaine had been found in the White House. I suspect it's not the first time, but the reason why it's coming out now is they are trying to force Biden's hand. It doesn't matter if it's Hunter Biden's or not. That's not the point. Somebody's trying to get the message across that this White House is out of control. And it looks to me like Barack Obama is forcing Biden's hand here. But I don't think Biden's taken the bait just yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have more issues coming to light out of that White House over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But, yeah, I agree with you on that theory. I think Obama is running this country, even though he's not up there in the Oval Office anymore. He's still running it on behind the sidelines, so to speak. And we got to put a stop to him somehow or another. We got to put a stop to him.
Yes, we do, Troy. And I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. But folks, it goes back to something very simple. There were illegal drugs in the White House. This is unacceptable. Somebody needs to go to jail for this, and they know who it is. This idea that, oh, that we have no cameras, we have no surveillance, the entire building is under surveillance. So they know who did it. All right, let's go to Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I want to use this as an example to point out how our government fixes things. 51 years ago, Richard Nixon announced the war on drugs. And for the last 51 years, we've spent no telling how many billions of tax dollars, countless campaign promises and politicians running on the war on drugs. We're going to stop illegal drugs. And here we are in 2023. They're leaving drugs laying in the White House, and they can't even figure out where they came from. So that's how your government fixes things for you.
Well, that's a fair point. Poor Nancy Reagan. Just say no, kids. Just say no. Say no to drugs.
If you want something to get worse, let the government get involved.
Boy, is that not the truth? Steve, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, it really is that bad. All right, got to run, Steve. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868. That's our number, 844-747-8868. Now, there's an interesting story up at up on the website, and there has been a raging debate about trying to normalize chest feeding. In other words, men who think they are women and they want to chest feed little babies. So I'm going to play some audio here. This is a dude, all right, who's trying to start a GoFundMe page to buy pumps so that he can lactate. I am not making this up. Cut number six.
I've always wanted to be able to lactate. And today, my doctor, after my EKG results, said that she's feeling confident enough to start me on this medication, Reglan. And it has some serious side effects, but I'm only going to be taking it for 2 weeks, up to 3 weeks possible. So within 2 weeks, I should be lactating. The rest is on me. I'm going to have to pump and keep a supply. This is the tough part. I have one pump. I need two pumps. And the amount of pumping that I have to do to lactate is going to require a better pump than what I got. I mean, I have electric pump, but I need the two of them, and I need them where they're more compact. And I'm going to start a GoFundMe. I need some help. Or if anybody's got one, they want to donate, please put it in the comment. I need a good one. One that links up to the phone where it's more discreet, because I'm going to have to pump a lot.
All right. There you go. That's a man who thinks he's a woman. And he goes on to say that he wants to provide transgender milk to mothers. So if there's a mother who cannot breastfeed her child, this man wants to give that mother, quote, transgender milk. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are no longer on a slippery slope here. We're at the bottom of the pit. This is insane. And now the CDC is giving official advice on how men can chest feed babies. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes. This is really kind of weird, but the CDC now has something called health equity consideration. And the CDC says that transgender and non-binary gendered individuals may give birth and breastfeed or feed at the chest. It also stated that the gender identity or expression of transgender individuals is different from their sex at birth. And the CDC says, the gender identity of non-binary gendered individuals does not fit neatly into either man or woman. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, quick solution here. Defund the CDC. Now, the House of Representatives, controlled by Republicans, guess what? They control the purse strings. Defund the CDC. You ought to be on the phone right now calling your congressperson and tell them, we want you to defund not a single penny going to the CDC. Any organization that claims to be a health organization and they don't understand basic human anatomy or biology, they don't deserve a single penny of your tax money because they're morons, absolute morons. Only women can give birth, ladies and gentlemen. Only women can give birth. I know that makes me transphobic. I don't care because we work with facts here. We work with reality here. And if you're a grown man and you're trying to breastfeed a child, you belong in jail charged with crimes. Crimes against nature. Unbelievable. But this is what your tax money is paying for over at the CDC. All right, let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Jim on the line. Jim, what say you?
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yes, sir. I got two things to say. I love your Friday open line thing because you've got some really intelligent people out there saying stuff. And the second thing I want to say is, you know that we have 170 days that they have designated as trans, gay, queer, whatever it is, celebrations in the United States. That's 47% of the days out of the year that we celebrate some sort of creep bull crap. And, you know, if the news media would not keep putting this on, they would back off. But the news media keeps it running, just like the race thing. And that's what I got to say.
Jim, the problem there, and look, the media is going to do what the media is going to do. I think the problem is that for far too long, we in the radio news business have ignored this story. And now you've got people cavorting about the lawn of the White House without any clothes on. You've got men thinking they can breastfeed children. And we've got to start calling this garbage out. And I liked how you think we're a family-friendly radio show, Jim, and I appreciate you saying, you know, cleaning up the language. But you're right. This is grade A fertilizer they're shoving at us.
Well, you know, it should be called LBGTQ DOGCR, and you know the rest.
Yes. Jim, very clever. You came loaded for bear today. Jim, appreciate that call. By the way, and I want my words back. Why is it that only one group of people get to call them? Why do they get to be proud? What about the rest of us? Just because you stick things in certain places does not mean that you get to claim words anymore. Why can't we have our gay apparel and it doesn't mean fishnet stockings on a grown man? Right? We can't even sing Christmas songs anymore. People wanting to don their gay apparel and now everybody giggles. Everybody giggles when they sing that song now. It's true. Let's go to Ellis in Georgia, WDUN, our great station there. Hi, Ellis. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, how you doing, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you.
Well, I just want to say Trump won. I'm a supporter of Trump, and I pray to God he's elected again. And I just want to tell a short story. I mean, it's real short, it ain't even long, about North Georgia College State University. Years ago, so I retired from over there. They had a gay pride week. I and them Corps of Cadets, they got together. They had a straight pride week. And they advertised it in college bulletin. It went over good, too. And under it, they'd always say, there's nothing wrong with being straight. And the people that really knows how to do that kind of stuff should get together and have a national straight pride week because there's nothing wrong with being straight.
Wow. You know, Ellis, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I didn't realize they were doing that, though, in North Georgia. But there are a lot of heterosexuals in that part of the country. So I'm excited to hear this news. A straight pride. No, not a week, Alice. You got to go for the whole month, right? We've got to have a whole month of celebration.
Yeah. That's where it was way back, though, straight pride week, you know. I mean, wow. Gay pride week, you know.
Yeah, now it's you got a whole month.
So good. Straight pride week. Nothing wrong with being straight.
No. It's true. That's Ellis. Appreciate that call. It was so nice, though. July 1st, guys. I don't know about you, but it was, you know, folks packing away their buttless leather chaps and their whips and chains and putting clothes back on. It was kind of nice to get back to normal for the month of June. But it is true, and Ellis is right. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with being straight, right? I mean, they want to make you think that. They actually have a term in the LGBT alphabet activist community. They actually have a term for you heterosexual people. They call you breeders. Breeders. That's what I'm telling you, folks. It's a freak show out there. A literal freak show in America. All right, 844-747-8868. Open line Friday. Doug in Georgia. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Trump won. And Trump 2, because I think we're going to go Trump 1 and Trump 2. So that's the first feeling. But here's my question. You own your station. You pick your programming. You decide what we get to hear. And we all love it because you put out the good news. And you question the things that we know are sick about this country. And what I often hear from all stations is the mainstream media doesn't. So you as an executive, wow. Who is making the decision at the mainstream media to keep things away from us? Most recently, a transsexual African-American man ran through Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or something, shooting a bunch of people, and it never makes the news. God, it's the advertisers calling up and saying, oh, no, we you can't say this, you can't say that. Who's making the decision? Because that seems to be the whole thing that's holding everything back is we just aren't getting the news the way you put it out, and we know you're telling the truth. I believe you, so that's my story.
Doug, this is a great question you raise, and I will do my best to answer this for you, and maybe we can just peel back the layers here of this onion. You know, the sad reality is that most of the major news organizations and conglomerates are controlled by liberals. And even in the talk radio world, like iHeart, Cumulus, the people who run those networks are raging leftist. Now, you may be saying, Doug, well, if that's the case, what? Well, they carry Sean Hannity. What about they carry Mark Levin? Yes, they do. And they're able to say what they say because they make tens of millions of dollars for these conglomerate radio stations. But by and large, the corporatization of radio is a very dangerous thing because they silence a lot of good conservative hosts. Now, they're not going to touch Hannity or Beck or Levin. They're not going to do that. Those guys are too powerful. But on the local level, and maybe those folks coming up through the ranks, yeah, they're going to lay down the law. So you're not going to see a Rush Limbaugh type person rise up at that level at iHeart or Cumulus. And the reason why is very clear, because conservatives do not run those companies. And that's the way it is, Doug. Basically, I mean, there's not some sort of a clearinghouse where, you know, everybody goes to get their talking points for the day. It's just the nature of the business where most of the people that are running these organizations are wackadoodle leftists.
All right. Well,
hope that answers your question. Look, it's a sad thing, but yeah, look, I'm telling you, I own my own shop and I'm proud of it. And we don't tell our people what to say on the air. And we take great pride in that. All right, Doug, got to run. Appreciate that. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Don real quick. And Don, I understand you used to work for the CDC.
Yep, that's right, back in the late 70s.
So what in the world is going on here? They're just ignoring human biology now.
Well, they're sort of like a lot of other three-letter organizations now that have become so woke and so political that basic science and medicine has just sort of gone out the window.
It's unbelievable, Don. And was it like that when you were there?
Not at all. It was pretty much run like a private enterprise or a private business. And politics wasn't involved at all that I can remember. And I think what you're seeing now, just look at the way CDC handled the COVID pandemic. It became so politicized that science was just disregarded, and anybody that had a different idea or opinion was pushed to the side. And I think the country better wake up. I think that you're seeing a really dangerous trend.
It is, Don. I mean, when you cannot even acknowledge basic science, that is a disturbing thing. Don, I appreciate the call. We've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at community banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with community banks. That way, our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur, this town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I love Fridays, and we sort of throw the agenda out the window, and we open up the phone lines, and we love talking to liberals, conservatives, whoever. And by the way, if you are someone who disagrees with me, you want to take me to task, you get to go to the very front of the line because we have that policy here on this program. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's head over to Salem, Oregon, radio station KYKN. Kathy on the line. Hi, Kathy. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. This isn't of any national significance, but I just wanted to tell you something that happened here last month. There was a special election for like a commissioner for the fire department in a town called Hubbard. It's about 12 miles from Salem, our state capital, and we are just so blue. It's not funny. But anyway, President Trump won. Well, he tied for the other guy that was running, and it was a write-in campaign. So many people wrote his name in that he tied. And then they had to flip a coin, and President Trump won.
Is really?
Yes. It was the town of Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D, I think.
I wonder if Trump's going to take the gig.
But I just thought it was so remarkable that it was a write-in campaign that I'd never even heard of. It's in my county, but I didn't vote because I think it was for the town of Hubbard. But anyway, I thought it was remarkable and awesome. Even the flip of the coin.
Kathy, this is brilliant. Yeah, this happened in the little town of Hubbard, and yep. President Trump was the winner, and the seat was on the Hubbard Fire District Board. So I'm not sure what the fire district does down there. Are they in charge of the fire department? Is that what they do? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Interesting. But Trump was declared the winner of the tiebreaker. I wonder if the president even knew he was on the ballot. Did he campaign? I don't think so.
No, he didn't. No, he wasn't on the ballot. It was completely written in.
Yeah. I love it. KOIN, the local CBS affiliate, says Trump has not announced plans to relocate to Hubbard or the neighboring towns of Woodburn or Aurora.
I live about 20 miles from Hubbard.
Wow.
And so, anyway.
I love that. What does that tell you, Kathy, about what's happening in your state, which is a blue state?
It's very blue. And Salem, I mean, is our capital. It's 12 miles away. And it just tells me what people are feeling.
I think they're tired.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway,
Kathy, appreciate that. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for listening to us. Appreciate that. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, folks, I have to tell you about Patriot Mobile. Man, are they doing some great work around the nation, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they have a special website just for our listeners, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. They have incredible nationwide coverage. They have plans to fit any budget, and they have great discounts for veterans and first responders. By the way, if you are a business, they can help you out as well. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You can also call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now, this is something that I know may not mean a lot to you, but it means a lot to me. Their call center is based right here in the United States. So you're not going to be talking to somebody in Bangladesh. You're going to be talking to somebody right here in America, normally Texas. So they're going to be able to understand you. You're going to be able to understand them, and they're going to help you out. 972-PATRIOT is the number. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now, look, they're going to give you a special discount. They're going to give you free premier activation, but you have to use my promo code Todd. That's promo code Todd at patriotmobile.com/Todd, and they're doing some incredible work over there. All right, have you heard this crazy story? We're going to get into this in the next hour. A DoorDash driver is very upset and got fired because he cussed a lady out because she only left a $5 tip on a $20 pizza order. I think we have some audio here. Can we play? Let's play that audio. All right, cut one.
Hi.
Hello.
Come here, Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to say it's a nice house for a $5 tip.
You're welcome.
Wow. So then the guy turns around and drops the big F-bomb, and they report the guy to DoorDash, and he got fired. But what I find fascinating here is the guy actually tipped. It was 22%. I mean, he got a 22% on the order. And so my question is, great, okay, they have a nice house. Well, maybe the reason why they have a nice house is because they manage their money. I mean, who's to say? But the idea that you've got to, I mean, what was the guy wanting? I mean, that was a fine tip, right? $20 pizza, you got the $5 tip. I would have said, wow, thank you very much. I mean, was the guy wanting a 100% tip? Because, by the way, when you're using DoorDash, you're not only paying the tip, but you're paying a delivery fee. So that $20 pizza probably in reality ended up costing about $40 or $41. And that's why I've stopped using DoorDash, because it's just so darn expensive. But I'm curious, would you be offended by a 22% tip on a pizza? All right, we're going to take your calls on that. But it is Open Line Friday, and we've got a lot of people wanting to weigh in. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody. Good to have you with us on this Friday edition of the program. Go ahead and write down our number. You'll need this today, and it is Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You say, what is Open Line Friday? Well, this is the opportunity for you to call in and talk about whatever is on your mind today. And we allow you to do that on Fridays, and it's a lot of fun. You never know where the conversations are going to go. This news from Politico, Kevin McCarthy has decided not to endorse President Trump. Sarah Ferris and Olivia Beavers are the writers of the story. Kevin McCarthy risking Donald Trump's wrath by not officially endorsing his third White House bid. But the speaker is also fulfilling an important mission, sparing the House GOP a civil war over 2024. While scores of McCarthy's members have already backed Trump, plenty of other Republicans are steering clear of the former president in the GOP primary. Are you surprised by this? You should not be surprised by this. In all seriousness, we knew that Kevin McCarthy is not a man that, what is a polite way of saying this, is not all that terribly reliable. No, I don't think snake in the grass is an appropriate descriptor. I think even snakes have some morality about them. Some Republicans already view McCarthy as a Trump backer in all but name. Congressman Dan Muser suggested the speaker is just clearing a path for his members to rally behind the former president by the end of the primary. Muser summed up McCarthy's message to House Republicans this way: hey, you're with DeSantis right now. That's okay. We get it. You're with Mike Pence, Tim Scott. But in the end, we've all got to come together with who's going to be our winning candidate. So, again, if McCarthy's going to go down that path, I suppose that's fine. But the concern I have here is you can't trust Kevin McCarthy. And we've all seen this. I mean, everybody knows that McCarthy is out for McCarthy. He has no interest in backing Donald Trump unless it's going to benefit him personally. That's what that's all about. So there you go. Kevin McCarthy is not endorsing President Trump. By the way, there's a new group called Mamas for DeSantis, and they put out a new ad, Cut 13.
In America, we've witnessed a lot and put up with enough.
You guys gotta go.
He is arresting her for being on a public playground. Her kids are here. What are you?
We've been forced into silence. Into compliance.
Keep your mask on.
Told that we must trust the science.
Indoor and outdoor venues should be closed.
We've been told that we must deny truth, back down, and look the other way. But enough is enough. When you come after our kids, we fight back. because there's nothing we won't do to protect our children. They're not yours.
These are our kids.
Our nation's children are all our children.
We will not allow you to exploit their innocence to advance your agenda. We are no longer silent. We are united. And we have finally found our fighter.
We're not going to let you impose an agenda on our kids. We're going to stand up for our kids.
He'll do for America what he did for us in Florida. Schools open. Parents' rights defended. School choice universal. Critical race theory prohibited. DEI stopped. Child mutilation illegal. Girls' sports saved. Communities protected. Our economy growing. And freedom guaranteed.
But winning the fight in Florida is just the beginning. We must protect parents' rights and the innocence of our children. We must restore sanity in our society. We need every mama and every grandmama in every corner of the country to stand up and fight back by electing Ron DeSantis President of the United States of America. Join us by texting MAMAS to 512345.
All right, so there you go. A pretty effective ad there. I got to tell you, it sounded good, looks good. But again, this is MAMAS for DeSantis, and they're saying that the MAMAS are in his corner and not Donald Trump's. What I'm curious to hear from the MAMAS in our audience. So where are you leaning right now? Are you in the Trump category or DeSantis? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, by the way, this is fascinating. Tucker Carlson sitting down for an interview, and Tucker said something that we actually have been talking about for a while on this program, but Tucker says that the chief of the police at the Capitol told him personally that the crowd on January 6th was filled with federal agents. What do you make of that? It's almost as if the entire event was some sort of a false flag event. That's what it's sounding like. By the way, Tucker also asked to weigh in. He was doing an interview with Russell Brand on Donald Trump. He says, I love Trump. You know, Trump is the only person with stature in the Republican Party, really, who is saying, wait a second, why are we supporting an endless war in Ukraine? Oh, and he's right about that. You have Mike Pence the other day. He's hanging out with his pal, the president of Ukraine right now, Zelensky, having a good old time. But Trump is the only one tapping on the brakes and saying, hey, wait a second here. We got a problem. We got a problem on our hands. Maybe we need to slow this thing down. All right, let's go to the phones here. Sean in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Good. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friend Maggie down in Florida. She's listening to you, too, and she likes your show.
Well, we're always happy to welcome new listeners, so we appreciate you doing that.
Good. But this is the thing that I don't know if you've been watching, but I'm in North Carolina, obviously, but I am loving that they are turning on the heat and sticking it to Cooper every which way they can, because he just vetoed another bill protecting women's sports and all this. So they're going to probably return the favor again and probably override his veto, which is great.
Yeah, your guy, it's fascinating to watch North Carolina politics. Your lieutenant governor could very well end up being the next governor of that great state.
I would love it because, again, you know, I heard some talk radio from South Carolina yesterday, and they were saying that their legislature, you know, claims that they are conservative and Republican. And he said, he goes, they're just wishy-washy, too. And he was like, I'm kind of proud of North Carolina because they're actually following through with what they're saying they're going to do, and they're doing it. And, you know, I'm pretty proud of some of the representatives that we got because I've actually met, you know, Representative McNeely personally, and he's a stand-up guy. He wants what's right, and that's what we want.
So your state house, the General Assembly there, doing the right thing. They passed a series of pieces of legislation that would ban the medical mutilation surgeries. It would ban boys from playing in girls' sports and vice versa. And it would also crack down on what the teachers are doing to the children in the classroom with regard to gender identity and sex. And the governor vetoed every single one of them.
Yep. And that's, well, again, you know, and then he comes out and he does that scary stuff of, oh, they're going to come after the LGBTQ community. And, you know, cut the hogwash. You know, it's like he really, you know, I love the fact that one of the Democrats jumped ship and became a Republican because she had too much. They went too far with her and more of them need to do it. And he has to stop being a bully because he's a career. Basically, to me, he's a loser. The only way he got in against McCrory was that bathroom bill. And that was it. And he's done nothing. Like McNeely said, he's done nothing. His whole existence in office, his merit and everything, there's nothing there that he can actually claim credit for and walk away with any kind of, you know, accomplishment. He has none. He has none. And like I said, he was a big part of the Biden thing, trying to push across that one loser that, you know, ended up getting caught cheating on his wife a couple times. And, you know, it's like they got caught with the hand in the cookie jar, and I'm glad the people, you know, voted for, you know. I'm actually kind of upset, though, that they got Tillis back in, but, you know, we found out what kind of snake he really is.
Oh, that guy's that guy's a loser. Sean, I am curious, though. So the Republicans have vetoed, now correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the Republicans in North Carolina, you guys have veto-proof majorities in both chambers, so... It looks like I have to imagine next week they're going to come back and take care of business.
Yeah, it was funny because I heard Vicki Sawyer saying on the local radio station, she goes, you know, he vetoed the last round. She goes, and we just returned a favor to him of overriding it.
I love it.
I love it. I love it, too. It's still great.
All right. Know? Well, Sean, appreciate the intel there. And, man, good for you guys putting those Republicans in charge of your state house. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, some good things are going to happen, in spite of the fact they've got a Democrat governor who is not going to be there much longer. Mark Robinson, by the way, the lieutenant governor there. All right, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. This is Open Line Friday. We'll be right back.
Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at community banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with community banks. That way, our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur, this town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
All right, Riley Gaines back in the headlines. That's the former NCAA swimmer who lost or tied, rather, with Leah Thomas, the man swimmer. Anyway, the latest thing now are these videos that are surfacing showing men allegedly chest-feeding little babies. And Riley Gaines is really enraged over this, and she is flat out calling it the normalization of pedophilia. And there is one video in particular of a fella who is using a nipple clamp. Yes, I said it, ladies and gentlemen, a nipple clamp to satisfy a twisted sexual fetish. And what is that fetish? Well, it's allowing a child to suck his nipple. No, I'm not making this up. I mean, this is a real thing. And as Riley Gaines points out, this is nothing more than child abuse. And she's absolutely, absolutely right. Take a listen. Cut number 5.
The longest time I refrained from posting on TikTok, I'm the swimmer who competed against Leah Thomas, who has been outspoken on why men should not be competing in women's sports or changing in our locker rooms. But after what I saw today on Twitter, I will be blasting my opinions and my views on all of my social media platforms because this is sick. And I think a true testament of where, as Americans, we are today. Okay, so I came across this picture yesterday on Twitter, which is very clearly a man who is claiming the identity of a woman and breastfeeding a child. After seeing that picture, I very quickly took to my Twitter to call that what it is, which is sexual abuse of a child. But I didn't realize to what degree until I saw this. In the following photos, you will see the same man who was breastfeeding the child actively using nipple clamps to fulfill his sexual fetish. And here is the Instagram caption from the same man on his Instagram profile where he wanted to check on how hard you can tug on the nipple clamps. So I guess what I'm wondering is, how can any sane human being see this man posing with this child, obviously sucking on his nipple, now seeing what he engages in privately and not see this baby as an erotic prop for this man with a sick fetish? It is sexual abuse of a child, bottom line. And all of this to say that in America, we are normalizing pedophilia. Let me repeat that. We are normalizing pedophilia. And we're normalizing this behavior in the guise of human rights. But sexual abuse is not a human right for anyone. I hate to even be spreading this message, but I think people need to see it. It's up to us to stand up against evil, which is exactly what this is. This is a battle of moral versus evil. The smirk on this man's face says it all.
All right, there you have it from Riley Gaines. Do you agree with her? Does she have a point here that what we are watching is nothing more than pedophilia and the normalization of pedophilia? This started a couple of years ago when they said, oh, you can't call them pedophiles anymore. You have to call them minor attracted persons, or they call them MAPs. And my question to you, what would you do if you saw some dude walking down the street chest feeding a baby? Why is that individual not in jail? I mean, the guy's a pedophile. By the way, Newsmax went off on all of this, cut number 8.
Just even that term is an insult to any woman who has had to breastfeed their child. Breastfeeding is something that is so healthy for a child, and it is a beautiful moment for the mother and the child to bond, the baby to bond. And so for this attempt by the CDC to normalize chest feeding is just, to me, it's so unnatural. It's not right, and we have to call it out. At some point, we have to put a stop to this madness. And I got to tell you, I think when we got to look at the fact that CDC, they haven't done any studies on whether there are these hormones that you have to take when you chop off your breast, or if you're a man and you're trying to get however you're doing it. I can't even, it's so complicated. The mere fact is that we don't know the impact that this has on infants, right? What these chemicals that they have to take, these hormones, what effect do they have on kids? We have no idea, yet the CDC puts up this outrageous guideline.
Yeah, it's we're watching the normalization of pedophilia before our very eyes. And again, they're going for the children. And why are they going for the kids at such a young age? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we now know that children are born with natural instincts. Little boys like little girls like little boys, right? That's the way it's been since God created Adam and Eve. That's the way it's been. That is a natural thing. And now you have society coming in, these alphabet activists, perverts, one and all, and they're coming into the schools and they're confusing the children. And this is why they're starting when the kids are 3 and 4 years old. They're trying to confuse the behavior at an early, early age. I feel horrible for this generation, because when they become adults, we're going to be looking at some very, very confused, mentally ill people. That's what we're going to be looking at here. But right now, this is nothing more than a freak show, ladies and gentlemen. When you have grown men walking around lactating, or at least pretending to, and then trying to breastfeed little children. And I know this angers a lot of you that we're even talking about this, but we have to talk about it. Otherwise, this becomes the norm in America. I'm just telling you. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's my number. That's 844-747-8868. Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Starn Show, Open Line Friday.
And At Vast National Bank, we value our billions of customers. Whether you're in Dubai or Tokyo or just London, we care. So bank big with us. Sure, your local community bank may seem friendly and helpful. Their small business loans may even help your town grow and prosper or whatever. But would they help you liquidate an offshore account to bedazzle your private jet? No.
Bank with a community bank and help your community grow. Find yours at banklocally.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Oh, by the way, Dave Rubin is weighing in. You know, he's a big DeSantis guy. And he says, Trump is actually gaslighting you, good people. Cut 14.
Has there ever, in the history of politics, in the history of the world, been a front runner who supposedly is up by 30-some-odd points, who spends every waking minute going after the guy that's in second place that supposedly is flailing? It's simply not true. I mean, in some ways, Trump at this point, and I voted for Trump, I've interviewed Trump, I happen to like him in a lot of respects, and I think he was a far better president than Joe Biden. Yeah. But in some ways, he's at this point gaslighting his own base. You know, Ron DeSantis is out there every single day. I did an event with him about 2 weeks ago in Nevada. There was a line of cars about a mile to get in. There's incredible enthusiasm. But also, you know, this is sort of the tortoise and the hare. And I think if you just slowly, calmly go about your business, show the people that you're competent and clear. I think most Americans at this point are sick of the endless show, the descent to hell that we seem to be on, the constant bickering and everything else. So hopefully most people are. Perhaps most aren't. And, you know, we all probably have to look in the mirror sometimes when it comes to that. But I think Ron DeSantis is doing just fine. And remember, national polls don't mean anything. This is a primary process. You've got to win a couple primaries in a row. National polls don't matter till the end.
Absolutely right.
All right. No, he's a moron. That was Dave Rubin on Fox Business. So, look, let me explain something here. Dave Rubin, by the way, gay man, was married to another man, and he sadly passed away. They adopted a couple of kids as little babies. And so Ron DeSantis has been bashing Donald Trump about being pro-gay, right? Put out a big ad, caught a lot of flack for it. Log cabin Republicans are blasting DeSantis. It was ugly, just ugly. And it turns out that Ron DeSantis actually sent Dave Rubin and his husband onesies, matching onesies for the new kids. So my question is here, you're going to attack Donald Trump for being pro-gay, then you're going to turn around and openly flaunt your support for gay marriage, and for really, you're going to do that? All right, just want to make sure, because people are going to call you out on that, Ron DeSantis. All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's go to North Carolina. Patty wants to weigh in on Riley Gaines. Hi, Patty, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd, how are you? How are you feeling, Todd?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, Patty.
Okay. Listen, yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, it's definitely these people are all sickos. They need psychiatric help. They really do. And you know who's the main groomer? The main groomer is the man in the White House.
Joe Biden.
Yes, man. He is the main groomer. We had that big party with all those nut jobs there. Who knows? Maybe one of them left the cocaine there.
True. Well, that's a fair point. I mean, they've got so many wackos going in and out of the White House. I mean,
it's a joke. It's sad. Mm-hmm. It's disgraceful what's going on. You know what? The White House is now a frat house.
Wow, that's a great way to look at it. You know, Patty, I just go back to the daughter's diary. I mean, who among us was taking showers, naked showers, with our children? I don't know anybody who does that.
Oh, well, he's always been weird. But, yeah, and I mean, you know, like
pervy.
I said, I think he's the main groomer. Grandpa's the main groomer. He knows exactly. He's allowing all these people, putting pride flags on the White House. I mean, other countries are laughing at us.
GIC, groomer-in-chief, Patty. That's what he is.
That's good. And another thing I actually want to tell you, too, my daughter went online, and we live in a rural area in North Carolina. There's 36, there's no lie, there's 30, she showed it to me, 36 pedophiles that live in our area.
What?
36 pedophiles live in our area, Todd.
Patty, that's not good.
No kidding. And that's when she brought that up. I'm getting chills right now. And we live in a rural area. So you imagine if you live in a very crowded area. We live in the country in North Carolina. And there's two of them not too far from where we are living right now. There's two of them.
Are there a lot of kids in the neighborhood?
There's children, but we're like, it's very rural. It's like they go in the yard. We don't see no kids playing. Do you see kids playing outside anymore, Todd? It doesn't do. We don't do that. It's not like when we were growing up. You know, we had a normal. We did. We had a sub. We at least had. My parents gave us a subnormal life. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you, Patty. That's shocking. And I guarantee you, if anybody goes online and types in their address, I think they would be shocked at what's living in their neighborhood.
To me, I mean, I'm sure I wasn't shocked. Maybe two. When
wow.
She said, when it came up 36, I was totally floored, Todd.
Mm. Shocking. Patty, all right, watch your back out there. Watch your six. I think the folks in North Carolina know how to handle themselves. All right,
okay,
Patty.
Todd.
Appreciate the
all
call.
Right.
All right, let's go to George in Gainesville, Georgia. I've been looking forward to this question. Hi, George. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you, what is the latest word on Marjorie Taylor Greene as far as what's going on in the House and her efforts, or should I say her early efforts in trying to make things better for the political prisoners in the D.C. jail?
Well, it's not been good for Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG. She was ousted from the House Freedom Caucus. Nobody's wanting to really talk about why. Congressman Andy Harris out of Maryland is the one who sort of let that leak. And he said that Greene also may no longer be able to attend meetings of the Freedom Caucus. It's the first time anybody's been kicked out of the Freedom Caucus. And that's really very surprising. They say that there were a lot of issues, and it wasn't just the dust-up between Lauren Boebert and MTG, but they are saying that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But they were also very concerned and upset with Green's support for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and her support for a debt limit deal. So I guess my question, George, for you, I mean, what are folks back in Georgia saying about MTG? Do they feel like she's letting them down now?
Well, I'm not in her district, but I'm not really hearing anything about MTG.
It's very strange what's been going on, and clearly some promises were made. Kevin McCarthy and MTG have some sort of an arrangement, some sort of a relationship. Don't know what it is, but I don't know if it's just political in nature, but there's clearly something weird there. And she's asked for things, and he's clearly given them to her. And now she owes her allegiance to Kevin McCarthy and not the House Freedom Caucus. So it's all very strange. And I have to imagine the folks in her congressional district are sort of scratching their heads right now going, what the heck happened to MTG? George, got to run. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Judy, listening to us on WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Judy. What's on your mind?
Hey, hi, Todd. I'm in Dahlonega, up in the mountains.
Very nice.
I'm one of the mothers, grandmothers, who is Trumpster all the way.
So,
and to me, you know, Ron will be good one day, but he's just a little bit sophomoric for me.
So not mature enough yet.
Yeah, he needs a little bit of age and experience.
All right.
And
good. Yeah, go ahead.
I really like Vivek, but he's so young.
Vivek Ramaswamy. He's doing well in the polls. He's actually neck and neck with Ron DeSantis in a couple of those polls out there.
Wow, that's impressive.
All right. Judy, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening, as always. Folks, we've got to take a break here. Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So every night, folks, I watch Newsmax. I hope you do, too. They have a great primetime lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Chris Plant. They're giving you the truth every single night. Americans are turning to Newsmax for the real news you can trust. And by the way, folks, in Newsmax, they do a lot of these polls. They conduct national polls, and they want you to be a part of it. So text the word Trump to 39747. That's Trump to 39747, and you can vote right now in the all-new Newsmax poll. Make your voice heard. Newsmax is now America's fastest-growing cable news channel, so be sure to tune in for the latest news and information, politics, you name it, and vote in the poll. Text Trump to 39747. Let your voice be heard. All right, this is a very interesting story. So the guys over at South Park, the creators, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they own a restaurant in Colorado, Casa Bonita. And apparently it's one of these destination restaurants. They call it Mex Eats and Pageantry. So the restaurant actually has divers plunging into a pool below a 30-foot waterfall. They also have puppet shows. That's kind of creepy, right? At a Mexican joint? I mean, actually, at any kind of a joint. I'll tell you, I've got a story about that in just a moment. Anyway, the guys, Trey Parker, Matt Stone, have announced they're raising the minimum wage. So, guys, this is the minimum wage to $30 an hour. Every person that works at Casa Bonita is going to be getting over $16.35 more than the minimum wage there in Colorado. This is fascinating. So I was trying to do the math here on this. So you're looking at just working 8 hours a day. That's what, about $240 a day. So that's about $62,400 a year, which is a pretty darn good salary. And again, if you work more hours, you're going to make more money. And what is here? So they have 256 employees. And if doing the math, you're looking at over $16 million just in payroll. That's a lot of enchiladas. I mean, a lot of enchiladas. I don't know how they're going to be able to stay open. Do they get that much business? What are they charging for the burritos? Was it $20 a taco? The over-the-top venue is known for animatronics and entertainment that extends beyond just food. So this is sort of like, I don't know, Mexican Chuck E. Cheese on steroids? Is that it? The Denver Gazette calls it the Disneyland of Mexican restaurants. Anyway, a Casa Bonita spokesperson told the local Fox affiliate, We did some soft openings, and we found that guests simply were not tipping. We believe that's due to our unconventional prepaid ticketing system. In order to provide a higher-than-average dependable wage, we shifted to a no-tipping model and doubled the hourly rate to more than $30 for our service staff. And they have 256 employees. They say only two employees were unhappy with the new system. And we have to assume those two people wanted to basically get tips. Look, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you charge what you want to charge. You pay what you want to pay your workers. The New York Times did a big interview with the South Park creators about the purchase of the restaurant. And they say, we could have built this thing twice as big for half as much money, but we spent so much restoring it like a piece of art, and the food is excellent. Wow. That's it. You know, tipping is such a controversial issue. And we were talking about the situation with the DoorDash, and that just angers me. Because by the time you factor in everything, you're paying more money for the delivery than you are for the actual food itself. And then we were, Ben Dieter, who is the morning show host, we were talking about this earlier today, that you're even supposed to tip your Uber driver. And I don't understand that. I just don't understand that concept until somebody called in who happened to be an Uber driver. And I guess it makes sense because it turns out that Uber literally takes most of the money that you pay. So the driver gets very little, and that's why they want you to tip the driver. But it seems to me, why not just go ahead and pay the driver a livable wage? And, you know, if that cost has to be passed along to the consumer, then so be it. But give us the opportunity instead of putting us into a bad spot. So anyway, until today, I had no idea about the Uber situation. So now I feel bad because I had no idea that Uber actually can judge you. So you know how normally when you, I just got a survey. They said, how was your service? One star, five stars. Did you have a good experience? Well, over at Uber, they do it in reverse. So they're asking the drivers, so what did you think about the person you picked up, the passenger? So there's no doubt that I have a very bad record over at Uber, which could explain why I'm always getting the crappy cars. I'm telling you, it's not good. I got one in New York City. This is terrible. I don't even think it was an Uber because it looked like a Yugo. I mean, the car was literally falling apart. And I'm like, I'm paying $80 for this car, and you're literally putting your life into your hands. I don't recall there actually being seatbelts in the vehicle. And there was this, I'm not kidding, there was like a Mother Mary statue on the dashboard and a woman in a hula skirt. And there was like a huge, there was something hanging from the, I couldn't tell what it was, but I think it was an air freshener that looked like some sort of a religious icon. Anyway, it got me where I was going, but I'm thinking $80? Really? $80? I mean, there were no seat belts. I think for $80, you should at least have a seat belt, right? I'm just saying. All right, coming up, folks, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee is going to drop by. We're going to be taking your calls as well. Open line Friday. Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, in the break, I would love for you to go over to the store. We have so many great items, and we don't talk a lot about the store, but go check it out. There's some great items for you to purchase, ball caps, T-shirts, and, of course, my books, and we've got all the books there. I'd much rather you buy them from us than, say, Target. Oh, by the way, Target reversed its ban on Mark Levin. And so now you're going to be able to buy the book at Target. But my question is, who in their right mind is going to buy Mark Levin's book at Target since we're all supposed to be boycotting Target, right? It's all very confusing. So anyway, congratulations to the great one, Mark Levin. And The Democrats Hate America, by the way, is the new book. It's coming out in September. And I am in the throes of book edits right now. I'm going to be doing that all weekend. I'm excited to tell you about my new book, which will be coming out in March. So it's going to be a doozy. I'll just leave it there. All right, again, our number, 844-747-8868. This is The Todd Stern Show.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us
at peacecorps.gov.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Let's get right to it. We got a lot going on today. Our telephone number, open line Friday, by the way. That number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from across the river, Governor Mike Huckabee. Governor, hope you're doing good today.
Yes, I am, Todd. And yesterday we were trying to talk, and I think a little storm took out some of your lines and made it impossible for us to keep the conversation, so delighted to be with you today.
Well, you know, in Memphis, if you sneeze, the power goes out. So we have no infrastructure in this part of the country. So it is what it is.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. And I just want everyone to know that that cocaine found at the White House did not belong to me.
Yeah. But, you know, if there's powdered sugar around here, it's probably coming from Cafe Du Monde. So,
well, Todd, you know this or not, but the Biden administration has now partnered with Disney, and they're going to create a new movie that'll come out this fall. It's called Blow White and the Seven Snorts.
You came loaded for bear today, Governor. Blow White. You know, it's fascinating to watch all of this play out and for the media to actually cover this story. Even MSDNC is now suggesting that cocaine was found in an area that was very secure in the White House. What do you think is going on here? Why are they covering this story?
I think they can't ignore it. I mean, when you have cocaine found in the White House, which is supposed to be the most secure facility in all of the United States of America, then that's a big story. And I don't care who's president, and I don't care who's the president's son, or who's come and who's gone. That's a big story. It is a big deal. It's surrounded by cops. There are secret federal agents everywhere in that building. And, you know, to say that somebody just dropped a bag of cocaine somewhere, and especially the fact that the story keeps changing. You know, at one point, oh, it was in a little cubby when you first walked in. Like people walk in, they say, here's my cell phone, here is my pocket knife, and here's my bag of cocaine. I'll pick it up when I leave. Yeah. Nobody believed that. No. That was nonsense. So we're just getting more and more information, but something just doesn't smell right. And I don't know how they end up getting away from this. Supposedly the Secret Service is even conducting DNA tests on the bag itself and the area around where it was found, fingerprinting and looking at surveillance cameras, which are everywhere. They're ubiquitous in the White House. So I don't see how somebody gets away with this, but then again, I think just like the Bidens seem to get away with anything, they very well may.
It's really fascinating when you watch, you know, all of this unfold. And I contend that someone has given the okay to start releasing these kinds of stories. I suspect it's not the first time they've found cocaine, but it is the first time that they're reporting on it. And I'm wondering if someone is giving Biden a nudge saying, you got to call it a day here.
Who knows? I think there are people certainly that are hoping that he might take the hint and realize he's not up to the task of running, much less serving. But I can't imagine that somebody would plant cocaine in order to push that along. All they really have to do is just show some of the YouTube videos of him being led off the stage after every speech, mumbling through speeches, unable to read the teleprompter, and then saying irrational things like, God save the Queen, man. That's all we really need to know, that this guy is just really no longer capable of serving in that job.
Governor Mike Huckabee is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Governor, we were covering a story earlier in the week about Your daughter, the governor of Arkansas, standing up to the secularist bullies that actually went after your grandkids for putting that beautiful chalk drawing there on the driveway of the governor's mansion. And I just thought it was really the perfect response to these out-of-town agitators coming into Arkansas and going after the family's faith.
It was a stupid thing for them to do, because all it does is call attention to how ridiculous and irrational they are to go after some children who are between the ages of 7 and 10 and say, you shouldn't be putting chalk drawings out because it has a cross in it. Well, they happen to be very committed to their Christian faith, the whole family, including the children. It's fascinating because some people even said, oh, they didn't really draw that. Well, I can attest to the fact that they did, because every time they come to my house, they take out the chalk that we have here, and they make chalk drawings all over our driveway. And sometimes I'm amazed how good they are. So when I saw that, I said, that's a good one. Very well done, kiddos. But for somebody to get upset about that, it just doesn't make sense. And even the most liberal columnist in Arkansas for the local newspaper came out and said, boy, did they pick the wrong fight, speaking of this nutty group from out of state, that if you're going to pick a fight with the governor of Arkansas, don't do it over her children doing a chalk drawing. For heaven's sakes, a good rain will take care of it anyway, but it just makes you look like a bunch of doofuses, and that's exactly what they look like.
Governor, we are looking at some new polling data coming out. Here in Tennessee, by the way, a brand new survey, 49%, or rather, Donald Trump holds a 49-point lead over Ron DeSantis in the presidential primary poll. What's the deal with DeSantis? I mean, he's a good guy, good governor, beautiful family, but he is just not moving the needle that much.
Well, I think he has been a great governor, and he's done a wonderful job in Florida. But people at this point know that if Donald Trump gets reelected, he is highly motivated to go and clean house and break some things in Washington. And I don't know about you, but if there's one thing I want the next president to do, if he's Republican, is to break some things in that city.
Absolutely.
And to fire some people, to clean some things up, to take the Dyson vacuum cleaner and go up and down Pennsylvania Avenue and Constitution Avenue and do some real serious cleaning of the deep state. Nobody is this highly motivated. Nobody has continued to fight back against the extraordinary headwinds like Donald Trump. And I think a lot of people will say, you know, his personality sometimes can offend me and rankle me, but by golly, this is no time for us playing patty cake with a bunch of people that want to destroy our constitutional republic. We're going to have to fight hard, and we have to rid ourselves of these people who have weaponized the government agencies to go after mothers who stand up at school board meetings, who go after pro-life grandmothers and put them in jail, and who go after people who simply walked around on the grounds of the Capitol and put them in a jail cell for months without really adjudicating their cases. People are sick of that, and they want to see a time when we have a legitimate and equal sense of justice in this country.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Big weekend, of course, the show coming up on TBN. What can we expect to see this weekend?
Well, one of the things, we've got some great guests that are going to be on our show, and I'd love to talk about all of them. But the one thing I want to talk about is that John Schlitt is our musical guest this week, who is just extraordinary. He was the lead singer for the band Petra. And many Christian music people, of course, will remember the influence that Petra had. He has some of the most amazing pipes, and I just cannot tell you how excited I am that we'll have John on the show, and it's going to be an extraordinary time. So please enjoy yourselves and watch the show this weekend for some great entertainment and, of course, insight into the issues of the day.
You know, Governor, I was when I was a kid, you know, that was, you know, Mom and Dad were huge Southern gospel fans. But Petra comes along and I'm like, holy cow. You know, I didn't had no idea Christian music could sound like that. It was phenomenal.
Absolutely. And they really helped introduce a whole generation of younger people to a music that related to them. Because sometimes, you know, in all due respect to the Southern gospel, it didn't really compete with Creedence and Led Zeppelin and some of the stuff that many of us were listening to, Petra comes along and we say, that I get.
Yeah.
And I dig.
That's it. By the way, I found a new restaurant in Memphis. So the next time you come through, there's a place that used to be an old liquor store. And so they've turned it into a diner, kind of a 50s style diner. And they still call it the liquor store. But they have they serve breakfast all day. So you can have breakfast down at the liquor store.
You know, somehow a picture of you and me walking into a place called the liquor store is one for the books. It'll be posted on somebody's Facebook page. But I'm game. I'm willing.
It's good food, I'll tell you that. Governor, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. And please tell Sarah, we are just super big fans over here across the river in Tennessee. And we just tell her to keep the artwork coming.
I will do it. Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too now. Governor Mike Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. In all seriousness, if you're driving through Memphis, just Google the liquor store, and you're going to have an incredible meal. And you can get the pancakes if you want to, but for me, it's I'm old school biscuits and sausage at the liquor store. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Here's the deal. Open Line Friday, whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about, but you got to give us a call. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the program. By the way, if you haven't already done so, head over to the website and subscribe to our daily podcast. All 3 hours commercial-free of the program, and we love to be able to provide a lot of free stuff for you, and be sure to check that out and download our podcast at toddstearns.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. Sherman in Georgia. Hi, Sherman. What's on your mind? Okay, we can't do that here, guys, so thank you. Sherman, we've got a bad phone connection. Let's go to Joe in Wisconsin. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I enjoy your show, first of all, and I enjoy the updates that I can pick up on Facebook there. I wanted to say something about Ron DeSantis and Trump, and just so you know where I'm coming from, I voted Trump the first time. I voted for him the second time. He votes again. I'm going to vote for him again. I think he's the best president we've ever had, absolutely, positively. He's the only president that I know of that did everything he promised when he went into office. And so I trust him more than anybody. But Ron DeSantis has impressed me. And I would like to see somehow or another them to get together and to not bloody one another too bad. Somewhere down the road, we're going to need a Ron DeSantis. He's the only one up there right now that I really trust, other than Trump, and at some point in time, I'd like to see them get together. There's, we've got a, you had her dad on a few minutes ago, lady in Arkansas, the new governor there, she looking good for the first woman president. I think she would be great. But DeSantis has been an absolutely fabulous governor. I don't think there's ever been a better governor than him. And I would like to see that expertise brought to the White House in some form or another. And I don't know why he's running. I do not believe he's got a chance of winning, but I'd like for somebody to kind of get them together just a little bit somewhere or another. I just don't want to see him go down the toilet.
Joe, I'm curious what happened behind the scenes. There's something that happened behind the scenes that we don't know about between Trump and DeSantis. And I'm willing to say it wasn't even DeSantis. I think it was the people surrounding him who have really proven to be horrible, horrible campaigners. I mean, just horrible. So I'm just wondering if something was said, something was done that really irked Trump, because Trump does value loyalty.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. That's just my opinion. And, of course, it's not probably worth a whole lot. But I think that this is typical Trump. Anybody that challenges him, he trashes them. And once again, now remember, I am a Trump supporter. I like him. I trust him more than anybody. But basically, this is what he does when he sees somebody that he thinks might give him competition. He trashes them. He did it with a guy out of Texas in the first election, and I can't remember his name, but you know who I'm talking
about. Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Lion Ted.
Sounds like later on they came to be friends. So I don't think it means a whole lot between them two that they're trashing each other. I just think that's what they do. But I really like DeSantis, and I don't think we want to throw him on the bus. That's all I've got to say. Thank you, Todd. I love your show.
Well, Joe, thank you much, and always appreciate hearing folks from Wisconsin. Joe sounds like he's from the southern part of Wisconsin, but maybe that's it. Appreciate that call, Joe, and you give us a holler back. And Joe raises an interesting point. Is it possible that at the end of the day it could be Trump versus DeSantis or Trump and DeSantis on the ticket together? Could be, but I got to tell you, folks, we got to have numbers. And I'm not sure what, at this point, based on the numbers we're seeing, what does DeSantis bring to the table that another candidate would not? Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. James on the line. Hi, James. What's happening?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm well, thank you.
I just wanted to say I'm really disappointed in the White House over this cocaine thing. I can't believe they hadn't blamed Trump yet.
I'm surprised as well, James. You know, if they could find a way, they would find a way.
Oh yeah, I figured they'd already come up with that before now.
Mm. Who do you think the cocaine belongs to?
Well, I don't know if Joe could even take it. He wouldn't know how. So that only leaves one. So I just wish the security people would show the videos and stuff, but that'll be an act of Congress if the Congress would do anything.
Absolutely. And the Republicans, Lord love them, they can talk a good talk, but when it comes to actually getting investigations and indictments and holding people accountable, it just hasn't worked out well for them. So I'm not.
No.
I don't know. I'm with you. I hope they can. I hope they can figure it out. But I haven't blamed Trump for it. All right, James, we got to leave it there. Thank you for that call. By the way, speaking of Parmesan cheese, one day I was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I believe they had a nice hotel there, and a beautiful hotel actually. And I was eating dinner at the hotel diner, and I went into the restroom. I was washing my hands, and I noticed this big, huge bowl, and it looked like Parmesan cheese. And so I took a photograph of it, and I just thought, oh, wow, somebody, one of the staff, maybe they were heading to a table with the Parmesan cheese and had to make a pit stop, and they left the cheese in the bathroom. And so I just made a little joke about it. It wasn't really anything, something fairly innocuous. So anyway, I posted on the social media page. 3 minutes later, the manager of the hotel comes rushing. I think it was a Marriott property. Comes rushing in. It's like apologetic. Mr. Starnes, that wasn't Parmesan cheese. That was some sort of crystal soap. We're so sorry. And I'm like, what are you? Don't apologize. I'm like, really? That soap? It looks like Parmesan cheese. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Someone sent me a note. One of our buddies over at Town Hall News sent me a note during the break, said, hey, they're talking about you over at Barrett Media. Barrett News Media, they're a great industry trade publication. I guess they were listening to the program earlier this week when I was talking about our six-year anniversary. And they wrote a very nice story about that, and we really appreciate them doing that. You know, I think back a lot to my time at Fox News, which, by the way, I was there at a great time. I was there in the golden years of Fox News Channel and Fox News Radio. And one of the things I remember was the day that really changed the direction of my career, which is when they came to me at Fox and said, hey, look, Paul Harvey, any of you folks remember Paul Harvey? News and commentary. Anybody remember Paul Harvey? You know, a lot of the younger generation, they don't know who Paul Harvey is. And We do our best to try and educate here. Paul Harvey was one of the great radio newsmen of our time. And he was a conservative without telling you he was a conservative. And you knew it by the things he talked about and the things that mattered to him. And he had one of the largest radio audiences of all time. Very influential man, Paul Harvey. Maybe some of you have a favorite Paul Harvey story, and we'd love to hear that from you on this Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Anyway, a guy by the name of Hank Weinblum, who came over from ABC Radio, and he was working at Fox. He was one of Paul Harvey's producers. Paul Harvey was an ABC news guy. And by the way, that guy made millions of dollars for ABC Radio News. Just unbelievable amount of money. Just an incredible man, like an incredible broadcaster, an incredible writer. So anyway, they called me in one day. I was, at that point, a national correspondent and pretty much living out of a suitcase, going to this disaster and that disaster, covering politics. And they said, hey, how do you feel about becoming our version of Paul Harvey? Well, first of all, nobody can become Paul Harvey. And nobody was willing to give it that much airtime on their radio stations anymore. And so they said, here's our plan. Why don't we have you do 1-minute commentaries, and you can write about whatever you want to write about. But they said the writing and the style of writing that I did reminded them a lot of what Paul Harvey used to do back in the day. And sure enough, whenever I would do a report on Fox News Radio, the network, they would get calls and they would say, hey, who is this guy? He sort of sounds like Paul Harvey. And my voice sounds nothing like Paul Harvey, but I guess it was in the delivery and the mannerisms and the style of the way I wrote my copy. So we did. And, you know, I remember it being a hard sale, even in the building. We were meeting with the sales department. And God bless our editorial team, because they stood by. They said, no, this is going to be something good. And so the sales team was like, we can't sell this. Nobody's going to want to buy this. You're going to have a hard time getting this commentary on anybody's radio station. That's what they told us. And I'll be doggone if the affiliate relations team there, they didn't get out there and they convinced people, hey, you got to check out this commentary. And by the time we wrapped all of that up, we were the second largest product they had in the Fox News radio family, aside from the 5-minute news service. Hundreds of radio stations around the country carry that commentary. And it was interesting because as I left Fox and started out on my own, and, you know, again, they declined to renew my contract. We were in the middle of negotiations, and it really wasn't anything ugly at all. It was just a matter of, okay, we're done here. And I remember walking out the door. They had never asked me to sign any sort of a non-disclosure agreement. So as I was walking out the door, I was literally calling affiliates saying, hey, look, we're branching out on our own. And that was, what, 2019? And here we are in 2023, and we're just living the dream, having a good time. We're on more radio stations now than we've ever been. And still doing the daily 1-minute commentary. And if your radio station doesn't carry that, give them a call and say, hey, we'd love to have the commentary. But the 3-hour radio show has been exciting because this noon to 3-hour, it's a little crowded right now on the radio, but we're in this for the long haul. And I do believe that radio is a marathon. Radio is not about shouting at people. Radio is not about carrying anybody's water. Radio is just about us hanging out together, talking about the big issues of the day, and that's what it's about. So anyway, all that to say thank you. It's been a great anniversary week, and we're looking forward to year 7. This has been a lot of fun, and we're going to keep doing it. And you know what? Some people say, well, you're not on it, but you're not on in Los Angeles. You're not on in New York City. No, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Because you know why? Because we're on in Gainesville, Georgia. We're on in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, and Wichita, Kansas, and I can go down our list. Portland, Maine, Salem, Oregon, Santa Rosa, California. We're on all over the place, and I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, let's go to the phones here. Charlie, listening to us on Alexa from Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Charlie, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, you asked about Paul Harvey. Back in about 1974, I had the privilege of sitting with Paul Harvey for about 2 hours or better, waiting for him to speak at the Kiamichi Men's Clinic. There's about 5,000 men there, and my singing group was a group that sang just before he was to speak. I was with the Gospel Lads Quartet.
Is that right? What was that like? So you got a chance to just visit with him?
We were sitting in a bus, just three of us or four of us in there, for about 2 hours, just reminiscing and talking. He talked about all topics and subjects, and my goodness, it was just a real privilege.
I'm curious to know, I've heard that what Paul Harvey on the radio is Paul Harvey in real life. Was that your experience?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. He was just down-to-earth guy, just talking. And we were nothing. We were nobodies. Just because we were singing didn't mean a whole lot. But he was the big celebrity, and he did. But he didn't know. You would never know that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, one time I was speaking at an event, Charlie. I forget where I was, and somebody came over and said they didn't realize I was the keynote speaker, and they're like, "Hey, would you mind taking a picture?" And it was very quickly I realized they did not want me in the picture. They wanted me to take a picture of them and their group, and I was more than happy to oblige. And it was really funny because after it was all over with, the woman came up and she was horrified. And she, "I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Why are you? Don't apologize. You needed somebody to take the picture, and I think I took a pretty darn good picture for you." So I like those kinds of people. Those are real people. Governor Mike Huckabee is one of those people, by the way. He's a real deal guy.
Right. Well, it was a great privilege for me. We had some pictures taken, but I don't even know where they are now. That was so long ago.
Wow.
But,
what a treat. Just, you know, you love those moments on the radio. And, you know, I'm a radio guy. I appreciate doing TV and Newsmax. They brought me up and enjoy doing TV, but I'm much more comfortable at home behind the microphone.
And you do a wonderful job at that, too. It's great. I love listening to you.
Well, you're kind to say that, Charlie, and tell the good people there in Joplin we said hello.
I'll do that.
All right. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. You know, Charlie's got a good radio voice. It sounded a little Paul Harvey-esque. 844-747-8868. You know, a couple of other folks that influenced me in radio, and one of them was not even a radio guy, but Louis Grizzard. Any of you folks remember Louis Grizzard? And I used to read his books cover to cover and then over again and again. Just an amazing writer and Southern humorist. And it was interesting. Louis and I had the exact same heart problem. And Louis, unfortunately, passed away at a pretty young age. I think he was in his 40s when he died. And he had a heart valve problem. And so it turns out I had the exact same problem. And my very first book was really an homage to Louis Grizzard, called "They Popped My Hood and Found Gravy on the Dipstick," sort of written in Lewis's great Southern style. What a great writer. But his stepbrother, a guy by the name of Ludlow Porch, and Ludlow used to have a great, great radio show, the Friend Seekers Network. I don't know if any of you guys have even heard of Ludlow Porch, but he is just one of my favorite, just was one of my favorite people, and just an amazing broadcaster. And he was also one of the best trivia guys in America, according to Sports Illustrated. And they used to do a lot of trivia on the radio. It was a lot of fun, which is one of the reasons we try to do trivia every now and again here on this program. So I don't know if any of you guys ever heard of Ludlow Porch or Louis Grizzard, but give us a call, 844-747-8868. Robert in North Carolina on WSIC remembers Paul Harvey, though. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I wonder if we're ever going to know the rest of the story about that cocaine they found in the White House.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I love Louis Grizzard, the fried green tomatoes.
Yes.
I love that.
Yep.
And Homegrown Tomatoes, I believe was the name of the song. But I loved the song when he wrote that.
Lewis,
I thought I'd call in and mention that.
Well, I'm glad you called in with the rest of the story.
Yeah, you're going to start using that.
No. I do
have a Paul Harvey voice.
Well, you're kind to say that. And as an homage to Paul, I start every one of the commentaries with, "Hello, Americans, I'm Todd Starnes." Yeah. Stand by for news and commentary next. That's
well, you
it.
Can start laying the rest of the story on us now if they ever find out.
You know what? Robert, you will be the first to know the rest of that story. All right. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. Let's go to Cindy in New York. Hi, Cindy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Good day.
Oh, you guys are clever today. Good day.
I love that. Paul Harvey, 4th of July Freedom is one of his best ones.
You know, the God Made a Farmer was it for me. Good. Wasn't that a...
Yeah.
Cindy, what was but it about anyway, Paul Harvey?
Oh, just the good day? I guess. I don't know. The rest of the story. I don't know. Everything about him. I was young when he was on, but I still remember him and revere him, just like Rush. And you took Rush's place very well. Thank you for your show, and I love listening to you.
Well, you're so kind. Now, what part of New York do you live in, Cindy?
Closer to Buffalo than New York City.
Okay.
Western New York.
So you're in God's country then?
Yeah, way out in the boonies.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, Cindy, thank you for listening to us, and thanks for calling in. Let's go to Kay in Georgia. So, Kay, wait a second. You knew Ludlow Porch?
Yes, I did. I was one of his callers.
Is that right?
Yeah, his name was Bob Hansen.
That's right. Now, did you have a nickname? Because I believe people called in using nicknames.
You're going to laugh. It was Dynamite.
Get out of it. Dynamite. I love it.
Yeah, and I'm also the one that gave you a big hug when you came to Gainesville. You remember?
Kay, this is nothing to joke about. I remember that hug. You're a very good hugger, Kay. It was Dynamite.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, I love that show, and I would just drive around. I would literally get in the car and have nowhere to go, nothing to do, just to listen to that radio show.
Well, he was great. He died back in, I think it was 2011.
Wow, it's been that long. I've got everyone. You know, he wrote a lot of books.
And I've got a bunch of them.
Well, I do too. So the next time I'm going to be in Gainesville, we're all going to have to get together and have a Ludlow Porch reunion or something.
I would love it.
My goodness. All right, Kay, appreciate that call. Dynamite. So from now on, Kay, when you call in, you're going to be Dynamite.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
I love
Todd.
It. All right, take care now, Kay. God bless. I remember her. Kay's a good hugger. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Joanne in Georgia and reminiscing about Louis Grizzard and Ludlow Porch. Hi, Joanne.
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I'm going to try and give you a quick story. I know you don't have much time left. Quick story. Louis Grizzard, yes. We miss Louis Grizzard in Georgia. And also Ludlow Porch, loved listening to him all the time. And I'm a retired flight attendant. And one day we were doing meals. That's when we were doing meals. And I was doing second coffees, and I walked up to him, and I looked down, and I said, "You're Ludlow Porch." And he said, "Yes, I am." And I told him, I said, "My husband and I, we listen to you all the time." He goes, "Well, bless your heart."
And he had that great baritone, "Well, bless your heart." Just that great baritone voice. Oh, my goodness. Brings back memories.
We miss him, too.
Yes, indeedy. All right. Well, Joanne, thank you for that story, and we appreciate you listening to us today. We do have to take a break. They're yelling at me. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I was going back and, by the way, welcome back to Open Line Friday. 844-747-8868 is our number. I'm going back through some of the old Louis Grizzard books. And Dylan, I'm sure, just by the look on your face, you've never heard of Louis. Great American patriot. Oh my gosh. The liberals hated him. he is one of the a couple of the book titles, and I forgot about some of these. Don't Sit Under the Grits Tree with Anyone Else But Me. They Tore My Heart Out and Stomped That Sucker Flat. That was the book he did about his heart surgery. If Love Were Oil, I'd Be About a Quart Low. That's clever. I love that one. Elvis Is Dead, and I Don't Feel So Good Myself. And these are all collections. A lot of them were collections of his columns, which were published by the Atlanta Urinal Constipation back in the day. My daddy was a pistol, and I'm a son of a gun. Shoot low, boys. They're riding Shetland ponies. They just don't write book titles like that anymore, do they, folks? Oh, this is a great one. Dylan, you would love this one. Chili dogs always bark at night. It's true, they do. What are you going to do? Does a wild bear chip in the woods? You know, that's interesting. He was a big-time golfer, Lewis was, and hated wearing socks. Remember that? He hated to wear socks. That was a big Lewis no-no. I took a licking and kept on ticking, and now I believe in miracles. Another great one. I haven't understood anything since 1962 and other naked truths. Well, that's a good book. And probably my favorite of all time, Don't Bend Over in the Garden, Granny. You know them taters got eyes. That's very solid advice. I'm telling you, you read Lewis's books and you're gonna learn a lot about life. I'm just telling you. One time, though, and it's the greatest, I think one of the best stories, Lewis took a job in Chicago as a sports editor. I think it was for the Chicago Sun-Times. And he hated it. That was the first time he lived outside of the South. He hated it. And he wrote a book. He said, if I ever get back to Georgia, I'm going to nail my feet to the ground. And he did. He never left. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun reminiscing this hour. It's been a great week. Thanks to Josh and for Dylan, Grace, the whole team here. Folks, you get out there, have a great Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend. Be good.